12 rushes for 9 yards, a studly performance. You heard me right, only 9 yards off 12 rushes. But Andrew Duvall, that is his fantasy stud of week 3. And who is it?
If you can't guess already, it's Mr. Darren McFadden. He, in fact, had more passing yards last night than he had rushing yards. Believe it or not, no, you don't need to adjust that radio dial. You're hearing me correctly. 12 rushes for 9 yards. I, going into the game, down 20, or going into last night's game, down like 20, 23, I got Welker and McFadden. McFadden's garbage the whole game. Welker gets his 80 yards and a touchdown, what I expected, but I needed the same out of both of them. Garbage the whole game. He comes up, they run a trick play, halfback pass. He throws a 14-yard touchdown pass. And I was like, well, I'll take it. It's still garbage. I'm down 5 with 5 minutes left in the game. Denver's up by 100 at this point. Terrell Pryor's throwing the ball. They're not even thinking about handing the ball off. I'm like, well, this one's over because Manning's not going to throw any more to Welker and McFadden's not going to get another touch. So they're inside like the 5-yard line. I'm like, oh, perfect. McFadden can run one in or catch one in the flat or something. They run 4 straight passes. He pass blocks on all 4 of them. And they go 4 and out, turn the ball over. Manning decides he's going to throw an interception as all they need to do is get a first down and run out the clock. He throws a pick, which gets run all the way back to the 2-yard line, and I'm like,
perfect.
Yes. And it's like 1 minute left. They hand it to McFadden, stuffed at the line. I'm like, they're gonna, and I'm freaking out, you know, down 5, and finally runs to the side, little pitch, reaches, barely crosses, hits the pylon, touchdown.
And you win your game.
Means nothing for anybody that's an Oakland Raider fan, but most importantly, I win fantasy football by 1 point to stay 3-0 in that league and move to 8-1 overall.
Wow, that's a salt. That, yeah. You're a great fantasy football manager.
Thanks, Tyler.
Wow.
What a congratulations, and thank you, Darren McFadden, for his win.
And to thank him, I'm probably going to trade him next week.
Luke, I think I expected you to say
Jimmy Graham,
a tight end from like New Orleans or something as your stud.
He's all right, yeah. He's pretty good. He's been like just amazing all the time. I can't believe I picked him up in the 3rd round because he's been so much better than me for anyone else. Jimmy Graham has scored 20 points 2 consecutive weeks in a row. Let me look him up right now. Yeah, he scored 23 against Tampa Bay and 25 against Arizona. And I wish he was playing Minnesota next, truthfully, because then he'd get me so many more points at this point. But, no, he's been really good and just on top of everything. Like, there's no stopping him, seriously.
Consistency, that's something that my fantasy football team needs.
Yeah.
My stud, ironically, came from the team that the Chicago Bears beat this weekend. My deal on fantasy football is that I love fantasy football, but I hate when it takes over fans being fans of their teams. When somebody would rather watch NFL Red Zone and see if their player's getting touches or if their player had a touchdown catch, whatnot, I would rather you sit there and watch your team that you're a fan of, whether they're getting stomped or they're up by 50. Watch your team because it's the NFL. They didn't make this league for people to sit there on their computers and put points down, like, you know, beating other fantasy football managers. So nonetheless, when I saw that my team was banking on Antonio Brown having a big game against the Bears, I did not look at my fantasy football app during the game. I just watched the Bears completely throttle the Steelers. And while watching that game, I see Antonio Brown in the last 2 quarters picking up, you know, a 50-yard catch here, a 30-yard catch here, a touchdown there. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, I'm not going to cheer for him because, for one, we're completely destroying these guys. But I'm going to look after the game and see how many points he put up. I did not win that game because I had just terrible performances from everybody else. But he did put up 33 points, and that was a studly performance from Antonio Brown. And a request, can you please do that again next week? I won't even cheer for you like I did this week. Just please put up at least 25 to 30 points next week, Antonio Brown.
Small request.
Now for the duds. Andrew, I almost want to say that Darren McFadden would be a dud with those stats. But
if you look at his in box score, it's a dud, but, man, my game. I mean, any guy that gets 2 touchdowns is not a dud, though.
True. Is your dud from Week 3 fantasy football, Andrew?
My dud comes out of the NFC North. Probably a lot of people's first-round pick, and that would be quarterback Aaron Rodgers. 26 for 43, 244 yards and a touchdown, which doesn't sound horrible, but he's got two picks and he had a fumble. He only got me like 12 points, and if you're drafting, like I did, you're drafting Aaron Rodgers high second round, you're looking 20 plus points each week, and only 12 points out of him is not enough.
Mm-mm. My dub this week was Colin Kaepernick. I drafted him later, but after his first performance of 30 points exactly, to have at Seattle to get 5 points, that's acceptable. That's all right. It's Seattle, whatever, you know. But Indianapolis gets him 4 points, you know. At home, I thought he'd do something, at least get anything, but no, just 4 points. And I'm considering benching him just because he's not doing well, and until he can prove to be better, I'm not just going to start him because he's been really bad.
Yeah.
I love that mentality of fantasy football managers. Until you prove me, you're not playing. You're sitting on the bench. I'm so disappointed. I'm going to yell at you. You take a lap. Do some push-ups. You know who needs to do some push-ups for me is Eddie Royal. I stuck my neck out on the line for him.
I heard about that.
In my league, I'm in a couple leagues, but one of them is an auction league. And if you're familiar with that, you get a total number of dollars, and then you draft. And then once the season starts, then you have $99 to spend on waiver players or waiver pickups.
Yep.
So I hear, you know, the buzz around my league. Everyone's wanting Eddie Royal. How much money did you put in for him? How much did you put in for him? And so I'm thinking, you know what, I don't need a wide receiver. I need a running back like nobody's business. I'm starting Rashard Mendenhall, for goodness sakes.
Oh, man, that's bad.
And so I'm thinking, all right, I'll pick up Eddie Royal, and I'll trade him and another wide receiver and hopefully get a top running back, you know, in my dreams, a guy like Adrian Peterson. So I put down $50 for Eddie Royal, more than half of my amount. The guy's averaging 14, almost 15 points per game, 44
That's
total points. But in last week's game, he puts up 3.4 points.
That's rough.
The guy disappointed me. So now his trade value goes way down. I'm wondering if I'm even going to be able to trade him for anybody relevant. So that's why you are a dud, Eddie Royal, and you need to pick it up out there in San Diego before you're just dropped off of my team. Now, moving on from fantasy football, if you have any questions about who you need to pick up in the waiver this week, who do you start, who do you bench, who's going to be a stud, who's going to be a dud, tweet us at remnant_sports. We'll hopefully be able to answer your question on the show here, or maybe even, you know, do something on Facebook with a message. But if you're going to tweet us a question about Chatterbox versus the fans, we're not going to give you the answer. We're just going to make you challenge us in a game of Chatterbox versus the fans.
And then we'll answer your questions next week after we beat you.
Now, I brought up the question, who's a good player to pick up on waiver this week, Andrew?
I looked on a couple of my leagues, and Martellus Bennett was still available.
Mm-hmm.
I put in a claim for him. I put in a claim for Joique Bell, especially with Reggie Bush being banged up. Bell played fairly well last week. I think he had 83 yards and a touchdown. Look at him. Josh Gordon, if he's still available, and Jordan Cameron, if they're both still available. It's hard to say that they're going to keep that consistently up, but, I mean, fantasy, it's kind of hot-cold. You pick up the guys who are hot, you drop the guys who are not. Look at that. I'm looking, it mostly is probably going to be picked up already, but Bernard Pierce, especially with a banged up Ray Rice. Especially if you have Ray Rice, you should already have Bernard Pierce handcuffed.
Those are the waivers for this week. One thing I always like doing is seeing who the defense is that you should pick up this week, depending on the team that they're playing last week. Everybody, if you didn't, obviously somebody's going to have Seattle playing Jacksonville. But when you look at teams like the Minnesota offense or...
Mm-hmm.
Go get the Colts defense this
get
week.
Get the Colts defense.
They're playing Jacksonville.
A team that I think you should pick up that may have been dropped has been the Pittsburgh Steelers special teams and defense, because they're poor performance, 0-3, and just getting destroyed defensively. I think this week is going to be huge for them. They're at Minnesota. Minnesota's on a down trot. If Pittsburgh is... Pittsburgh's going to be absolutely fired up defensively, because if you watch the game, it was halfway through the fourth quarter, and it was completely empty at Heinz Field. So they have something to prove, and they're going to come out against this team that thinks they're going to, you know, salvage mm-hmm. what's left of this season mm-hmm. and prove something. So pick up Pittsburgh's D. take my word for it if I'm wrong. We have some numbers here. You can complain to the Remnant Studios or Chatterbox Sports Talk.
Yeah.
And, and
we have a special filing cabinet for all your complaints called the Wastebasket.
So pick up the Pittsburgh D, pick up Bernard Pierce, and any other questions you have regarding fantasy football, tweet us. We're going to take a quick break here on Chatterbox Sports Talk. We've got baseball talk coming up next. No Colo, the baseball man here. So it will be a quick segment. For all you Twins fans, we'll have Andrew Duvall pre-gaming the Twins-Tigers game tonight and tomorrow here on Chatterbox Sports Talk.
This is Cole Aldrich.
Douglas misses a big jam followed by Cole Aldrich at the buzzer.
And you're listening to the Chatterbox Sports Talk.
Back here on Chatterbox Sports Talk, we had a question over the break tweeted to us by Ben Fass regarding his fantasy football team. He needs a plug-in at quarterback for this week. His options are Roethlisberger, Rivers, Pryor, or Cutler. My boy Cutler from Chicago. You know, Andrew, I personally would have thought somebody like Rivers or Roethlisberger right away, but after watching Roethlisberger play last week against the Bears and get a little banged up, his right hand was looking bloody and kind of scarred. His arm strength was down. Not that I want to change your mind if you already thought Ben Roethlisberger, but who would you start, Andrew, if you had the option of the four?
I'm going with Cutler. I'm trying to figure out exactly who San Diego plays this week before I completely make that decision.
I think San Diego is on
playing,
a bye.
No,
San Diego
is playing Dallas.
Playing Dallas.
Ooh. Sorry. I'm going to go with Cutler. I think that game you'll see is going to be an air it out game between the Lions and the Bears. And the Lions secondary isn't horrible, isn't great. They're averaging 262 yards a game. They shut down RG3 fairly well last week. But I think Cutler's going to have a good game. The Lions' corners aren't going to be able to cover Brandon Marshall as well as they were able to cover Pierre Garçon and Hankerson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Lions' corners will struggle with Marshall and Martellus Bennett, and I think you can see a big game out of Cutler.
I would argue Ben Roethlisberger just because the thing I would keep track of is Chris Cook from the Vikings. He got hurt before or relatively early in the game against the Browns. And once he went down, the Vikings have no one to back up our two corners. Even though our two corners aren't really all that great, the guy who came in after that, the Browns literally just didn't look at the wide receiver, looked for the corner, looked for A.J. Jefferson, who came in relief, and threw to whatever wide receiver he was supposed to be covering because he couldn't cover anyone. Like, he was so bad at it. They were specifically targeting him. And Ben Roethlisberger, he's savvy enough to know those kinds of things. And if it comes to that, if Chris Cook is out again for this game, I would look to do that, to go Ben.
All right, Ben Fast, you heard it. You have your option between Cutler and Roethlisberger. We have two for Cutler, and one for Roethlisberger. You take your pick. Either one will be all right as Roethlisberger is at Minnesota this week, and Cutler has the Detroit defense, so I think you should be fairly all right. We're moving on, though, to MLB. It's baseball season, even though it's fall. It's the clutch time, and Detroit getting ready to go clutch here in Minnesota. Andrew Duvall will actually be at tomorrow's game, so he's hoping tonight that they don't pick up a W so he can see in person.
Yeah,
the Tigers clinched the division.
I mean, I
at
never,
Target Field.
I never root for the Tigers to lose a game, but man, especially after losing in Minnesota. So the only way we can clinch tonight is if Cleveland loses, and we win tonight, then we clinch. So I guess they can win tonight as long as Cleveland wins as well. I was supposed to be at the game last year when their magic number was at 1, and the Twins beat them with Verlander on the mound, which was super obnoxious. But this year, like I said, I'm going again on Wednesday. Tigers' magic number is at 2. They lost last night in extra innings. Verlander pitched great, and I was so happy. Finally, somebody said it, because during the game, coaches, or the guys that do, Bremer and the other guy that does the games for Fox Sports North for the Twins, where he was saying that, you know, everybody's been ripping on Verlander this year because his numbers are down, but they're not. I mean, Verlander's still pitching great. I think he's kind of taken a little bit off because he hasn't, he doesn't need to be as dominant. Now, he not saying that he's on purpose losing because he doesn't have to win, but like you see a game last night. The game like he pitched last night is the reason why they're 13-12. He pitches six innings, strikes out 12, gives up like four hits, no runs, and then the Tigers score three, which is, you know, that's average. And they pull him in the sixth. His pitch count's kind of high, especially for this time of year. Bullpen comes in, blows the game in extra innings. You know, that's why he's 13-12. It's not has anything to do with that he's pitching bad. He's still top five in strikeouts. Him and Scherzer combined have over 200 strikeouts together, which is the first time that a Tigers pitching staff has done that since Mickey Lolich in 1973, I think. They're a good team. They're still playing well. I think they're going to end up playing Oakland in the first round of the playoffs is probably what it's looking like, because I think Boston will end up. Let's see, Boston is at 95-62, and Detroit's 91-66, so Boston will probably get the wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Detroit's going to play Oakland, which I think we can beat Oakland. You know, we beat them last year in the playoffs. We beat them in 2006 when we went to the World Series. So I think it looks well for Detroit.
Who do you think's the wild card out in the AL right now? I know Texas is a game back. They just had a big win against Houston. They have another stand with Houston tonight at 8 p.m. Do you think Texas is a wild card favorite? What about Tampa? Tampa's a game over the wild card. Kansas City.
I think I was picking Kansas City a little while ago. They're down to three games out now. I think they're gone. I think you see Cleveland because Cleveland has six games remaining and they play Chicago three times and they play Minnesota three times. So they have an easy six games.
Yeah,
and
so that's three wins at least.
Yep, they've won four in a row. They're playing. They've won seven out of their last ten. So I think they hold on to their spot. Texas plays Houston and they play the Angels. So it's hard to say that Texas wouldn't take it. Tampa Bay plays New York and Toronto, and I think New York, they're still kind of in it. They're still looking to win games. I think New York takes a few of those games away from Tampa, and that will allow Texas to squeeze in to that second spot, which leaves a game between Texas and Cleveland. And Texas wins that game with Yu Darvish on the mound, and they win that game like 2-0.
And you just mentioned New York. Can you see the Yankees making a surge?
Absolutely not. There's six games left, and they are four games out. And they, like I said, they play three of those games against Tampa, and they'd have to sweep those, and Cleveland would have to lose, you know, three of their games. And no, they're not. They're done.
Moving to the NL, Atlanta's clinched it. You got St. Louis has clinched it.
You got three teams out of the NL Central.
Out of the NL Central, Cincy, Pittsburgh. Who's a team favorite? We always talk about the favorites. You have L.A. clinched it. Who's a team favorite out there?
What do you mean team favorite?
The favorite that's clinched it. Who's favored to win in your mind?
Well, right now it's got to be the Dodgers. They're on fire, and they played really good down the stretch. But I think, for me personally, it's St. Louis just because they've got that history. You see it, and you see it in the NFL a lot, and you see it in Major League Baseball too. The teams like the Yankees, not so much the Braves, they choke in the playoffs. The Angels, in the NFL, I'm looking at the Patriots and the Giants. You know, it's these teams that as soon as they get, they just got to get into the playoffs. Sometimes it's shaky, but as soon as they get in, you see them. They know how to win. They've been there before. The Cardinals played well last year in the playoffs. You know, so I think. I think Braves are one and done, like they were from every year from 92 until 2004 when they clinched their division 12 years in a row, and I think maybe got one World Series title out of all of that.
Do you think that Pittsburgh is there to stay in the playoffs? They haven't been there in 20 years. They're not familiar. They're not used to playing in October. What's the story on Pittsburgh? Do they have what it takes to beat teams like Atlanta, St. Louis, Cincy? L.A.
I'm rooting for them. That's my team that I'm rooting for in the National League. I don't see it though. They're hot and they're. I think We'll see. If they come up, I think it would actually benefit them more to not win the division. Because those teams, the NL Central is still up for grabs. They're all separated by two games, and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh play three games against each other at the end of the year. So watch that. That's still, those teams aren't going to rest their guys yet. They clinched a playoff berth. They're all three in, but it's still up in the air. And especially now with the wild card the way it is in Major League Baseball, where it's down to a one-game playoff, you don't want the wild card spot. You want that division title. So St. Louis holds it right now, but both Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are fighting for that. And I think it might benefit Pittsburgh more because the team that wins the division is probably going to play the Dodgers right away, because I think right now Atlanta actually has a better record than the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. Atlanta has a better record than the Dodgers, so Atlanta will play the wild card team. And like I said, history proves it. Atlanta's not good in the playoffs. They played bad in the wild card game last year. They always seem to play bad in the playoffs. So I think if you see Pittsburgh come up, they'd have a better chance not winning the division and facing Atlanta than winning the division and playing the Dodgers.
Now, out in the NL West, there's a little controversy between the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. If you were on ESPN at all in the past week, you saw clips of Dodgers players, after clinching the division, running out to the pool at the Diamondbacks stadium, jumping in the pool and having themselves a little pool party at Arizona's field. Now, both sides of the story I can understand. Arizona's pissed off because this is a team that they went neck and neck with, and they had fights all season. They had Puig getting thrown at, or they were thrown at Puig. They had Puig coming and punching their pitcher. And they just lost to the team who clinched the division. Granted, for the Dodgers side of things, there's nobody left in the stadium. They're not showing off to any fans. They're doing it to celebrate themselves.
Yep.
Granted, they did celebrate in the pool of the Diamondbacks. What's your stance on this?
It's tough. I think it's another one of those things that people got to let it go. It's not that big of a deal.
It's a pool.
I mean, yeah.
You put a pool in a stadium.
You
got to
expect people to dive in. I think the Dodgers are just having fun. They're celebrating. They're not thinking about what's going to happen a week later. The Diamondbacks need to get their proverbial stick out of their butt or something like that. I don't know how to say it.
It's like doing the dirty bird in the Metrodome. It's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's like, just kind of get over it. The funny thing about that story was, did you see the sign at Wrigley? Because Atlanta was playing in Wrigley when they had a three-game series and they needed to win, like, two to clinch. The sign, you know, the big sign out front at Wrigley said, Atlanta, don't clinch here. We hear Arizona, I'll throw you a pool party. Because the Braves went to Arizona to play after that. They ended up clinching at Wrigley, but still,
wow,
I thought that was funny.
That's clever. Looking ahead to next season when L.A. plays Arizona, this rivalry where, you know, there's fights breaking out. With this happening, does the leadoff hitter of the Dodgers get thrown at?
I think it does. And you know what's kind of funny is I think that game next year is actually being played in New Zealand, that opening series.
Really?
Either New Zealand or Australia. I'm pretty sure it is next year.
So New Zealand may get a little fight night.
You know, they know they're out there to show off a little bit and to play a little hardball and out there more for entertainment purposes than they might be if they're here. So, I don't know. Maybe we see somebody get thrown
out. Look out for the Diamondback-Dodger game in New Zealand next year.
Yep.
And watch out for Detroit clinching the series.
Hopefully tomorrow.
The division either tonight or tomorrow.
Yep, I'll have a recap of that on Thursday during our show. Scherzer's pitching, so we should win. It's the Target Field, so I'm going to get really cheap, good seats, and it's going to be great.
So Duvall will be at Target Field. He'll have the recap on Thursday. Stay tuned. We've got a college football player that will impact your 0-3 team. Is it Manziel to the Browns? Is it Teddy Bridgewater to Minnesota?
Oh.
Or maybe my guy from UCLA. We will hear that up next after this quick break on Chatterbox Sports Talk.
Hey, this is Kevin Love.
Got it!
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my.
You listen to Chatterbox Sports Talk.